Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yeah, you sir.
I just want, I'm not going to deal with any issues today. I just want to make a couple of comments.
Okay.
I thought that the program on Friday was magnificent. It was, first I want to wish David Ellis happy retirement, and I want to thank him for his years of professionalism, of what he's brought to radio in this country. And what was so refreshing about Friday was to hear the voices of people who are passionate about their craft and who brought that professionalism with them to the areas of this country and did Barbados proud in that respect. It was really fascinating to hear the history of Down to Brass Tacks and the history, essentially, of radio in Barbados and the evolution of where it was to where it, came, where it has now come to, and indeed where it needs to go in terms of the education of the new journalists coming up and what should be expected of them to go forward. And I thought that that program, especially moderated by you, was professionally done, well done, and I want to tip my hat to you and thank you for all of it. That's all I
want
to say today.
So I want to thank you for it. I have I wanted to say this at some point. I said it briefly on Friday, and I'll say it again. One of the things about Down to Brass Tacks that I've learned over the years is that the voice you hear on the radio is only half, sometimes a third, of a larger equation. When I started in this business back in October of 1994, I had a producer by the name of Leslie Sion, a technical operator by the name of Woodsley Borky Roach, and a production assistant. There were three people in the booth, and nobody knew who I was, and nobody cared to talk to me, or maybe the phones didn't work, I don't know. There were no calls. And Leslie Sion, we then had a talkback mic where the producer could talk to the host. Leslie Sion kicked down the talkback mic and said into my ear, one ear, the left ear, "Son, there are no calls. Just say what I'm saying and follow me." On the third of some month in some year, and I go on the third of the month of the year, Garfield Sobers walked onto the pitch at Edgbaston. Garfield Sobers walked onto the pitch at Edgbaston. The West Indies were struggling on. The West Indies were struggling on. On the other end of the wicket, there was, the bowler was, "There ain't nobody in Barbados, sir, except the three people in the control booth and I." Who could tell you that? I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. I was simply saying what Leslie Sion was saying in my ear. Because of Leslie Sion, I had the confidence to continue doing this. And when Leslie left, there was Annette Beckett, and there was Borky Roach, and Kathy Walcott, and a series of producers who've made the host better than he appears. John Stout, the technical operator on Friday, did some of the recordings, did the editing under the guidance of Anthony Green, did some work. Anthony wrote a running order. And John and I talked to each other via hand signals, telephone messages. I would get up and go upstairs and confer with him. He would come down here and confer with me. Sometimes it bled on air, I'm told, that they could hear us talking to each other, but that's live radio. It happens from time to time. Microphones bleed or are left open. But here's the thing. John, sitting up there, was doing about five different things at once. Lining up commercials, answering the phone, talking to me, looking for the recorded pieces to play, and it went to me as smooth as it could possibly go with all those moving parts. John Stout did a fantastic job and made it look easy. And I don't think, I remember Borky said to me once, people just talk about Patrick and Borky like they talk about the Lone Ranger and Tonto. But he said you should say Tonto and the Lone Ranger, because Tonto does do more than the Lone Ranger. And I laughed. But sir, the thing about Brass Tacks, and this is the point I was trying to make, is that a team of people come together to make this possible. And sometimes the people behind the scenes are the ones that make it rich. And you don't hear me saying, you know, John, just tell me do this, or John, just tell me do that, because he is the unseen eye that makes sure everything flows. And I take the compliments on behalf of the team that has worked to put this
and
together.
And the team comes together because they care about what they're
doing.
Do, sir. And not just, absolutely. Not even just about the craft of caring of what they're doing, but also the value of what they're doing to this country, for this country, on behalf of this country. And every day they come with that passion. And I really thoroughly enjoyed it and appreciated it.
So, and I thank you very much. You know, I want to say that we will try as best we could to continue to hold those standards high. And I hope that as David gets through his projects, that the what he's invested in these programs don't fall apart, because I ain't gonna be here that much longer either. And identifying new talent and bringing younger people to the fore, and while we're still around, being able to nurture them and help them and guide them and let them bring their own style, their own listeners, their own group of people to the fore. We have younger people on air doing Brass Stacks, and we need a couple more. And the tone and shape of the program may change because of social media and other things, but the opportunity for people to interact and to bring their concerns and have them addressed is a part of radio that I hope we never lose. We still need a night program, especially in the midst of this COVID pandemic, where people just need to, I don't know, get their concerns and their fears out of the way and be consoled with the type of program we did when we had Care and Here to Share and that kind of thing that we had in the night. I think we still need that program, type of program, no more than ever. Oh, and a lawyer on call too, because we got a lot of legal issues to deal with. But there are opportunities. And I'll wait to see what David has up his sleeve. Retirement, I keep saying, is, you know, just transitioning. Don't hang up your headphones yet, Dave. Thank you, sir. Brass Stacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790, Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Good
morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning.
I'm on Brass Stacks.
That's the only way you could talk to me.
Okay. I called to lift up. I hear an interview with Cashy this morning with the blind lawyer. And I really want to lift her up. She's a real great encouragement to a lot of younger folks.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shows that parenting is really a great thing, because it shows that the parents was in there and she too was confident, you know, of what she was doing. So I really called to lift her up. A second thing too that I want to mention is that last week, I think they was talking about the different schools that was good. And one of the things I could remember years ago, they had a clip in the Sunday Sun with this guy that went to Alma Paris, and the teachers had saw something in him, and he went to Cuba, and he became a doctor. So, you know, I was saying too, because I think they had a lady that who was talking to, saying that to open by Alma Paris. You know, everybody don't learn at the same pace. And I would wish that guy that who became a doctor, that he would come and have an interview and let others know that it don't matter at what school that you go to, you know, that it's you as the individual that go fight hard, you know, to do your best. And I had another guy that he had went to Queen's College. His mom wasn't able to help out in a good way, but the teachers at Queen's College used to let him do his schoolwork at the school. Called him, his mother home, they had no luck. And it was an interview, it was a Sunday interview. And this is how he looks, that I would really like the nation to come back. And really how he looks, these things that the younger folks, that they can see, that is not, you know, what you have is you as the individual that go fight hard for what you really want.
Mm.
You know, so I just want to share my little piece. That's all. You have a good day, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you as well, ma'am.
Be safe.
Yeah, I'll try my best. You too.
Take care. Yes, okay, Mr. Johnson.
All right, ma'am. I have a note here that says, the reason, Dennis, that they can refuse is based on simple contract law principles, and that's the insurance issue with the guy earlier. You can't force private parties into contractual terms in which they do not both agree. It's referred to as consensus item. What may happen is that if a man in the position of the caller who thought that his entire vehicle was indeed insured took the matter to court, a court may construe the contract in a manner that might uphold his position. He might therefore not be without a remedy. I was told by somebody else that there are clauses in the insurance contract that state that they don't cover batteries and tires and windscreens. So perhaps the question of reading the contract to ensure just what you are covered for may also be a factor in this. It's interesting. I'll go and take a look at mine and see what it does say, because I don't think I've ever had a look at the entire contract, come to think of it. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. 4341790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, am I on?
You are.
Okay, good morning, Dennis.
Hey, morning.
First of all, let me say, like the others, I also enjoy the program on Friday. It didn't take me long to recognize that the focus was on giving those who had worked with David the opportunity to share with him the experiences, and for him to also hear those voices that he would not have been hearing for years. So I think that was the correct focus. Of course, regular callers have every day from today to congratulate and share their feelings with David. I'm sure he's listening. You know David can't be home and then listening, right?
I hope that you would take the opportunity today to sleep late and get up and have breakfast.
He can sleep in the air for years, man. He can sleep in Brass Tacks, that's gone.
Yeah, you get into... So the truth is you get into a cycle, and, you know, retirement, you shouldn't break it. Your body would be shocked.
Yes,
you should keep doing what you're doing for a bit of
wish him all the best. And of course, that he finds some way to continue sharing his knowledge and experience with us. Mm-hmm. What I'm calling about this morning, Dennis, I'm appealing, begging the Barbados Water Authority to explain to us, the people of Redmond Village, why we have been unable to get any consistent water supply for years. When I say years, I'm talking about at least 3 or 4 years. The water comes and it goes. Sometimes it comes for a few hours, sometimes for less than an hour.
This is the elevated side? This is on the elevated side, or?
Yes, the elevated side.
Okay, yeah.
Which will be the side with Bagatelle Greenhouse.
Bagatelle, yeah, right, yeah. That's what I mean by the elevated side, yeah.
It is terrible and becoming unbearable, because the truth is, we never know when we are going to get water. Sometimes it may come during the day, sometimes 2 a.m., 3 a.m., so you have to be keep on your pipe with a bucket or your containers, because you have to use that little opportunity to collect water. Mm-hmm. The water pressure is always low. So even though you may put a tank, if it's an elevated tank, you can't
pressure
get
can't get
water.
Up.
Can't get up.
Yeah.
Right? So the pressure is... So not only is the water inconsistent supply, but low pressure. So you have washing machine, you can't use it.
Yeah.
You got to go go
to the standpipe.
Wash it.
Or the pipe in the yard.
The pipe. Well, invariably, the time you want to wash, the pipe ain't got no water. Right?
Yeah.
So the reality is, we have to spend a lot of money going to the laundromat. No, you could bear something like that for a short period of time, but this is no years. I recall the Water Authority. It has been brought up on calling programs. You would hear about them building some new reservoir or improving it,
mm-hmm.
or new pumps will be placed. But we have been hearing that for years. And it's like getting worse, because I could tell you for the last, let me see, 3 days, there was no water. It got a little bit trickling in last night around 2 a.m. And all like, no, it's gone again.
Mm-hmm.
So I am appealing to Barbados Water Authority to explain to us why, after being patient for so many years, why there is no improvement.
Yeah.
We are paying our water bills, but we are hearing why, what was the result of all these new pumps and the improvement in the reservoir that they have been doing, the one that feeds this area. But it is not improving, and it is unbearable, and therefore I'm appealing on behalf of all the people in this area of Redmond Village, St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that they are hearing and that they would give some feedback on this program, because the truth is, 99% of the times when you call, you do not get through.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do get through, you hear the same excuse over and over and over. And we can't bear it no more.
Okay, sir. And St. Thomas is one of the areas in Barbados with regular rainfall. So, I hope the persons responsible for the communications work with the Barbados Water Authority. I know they monitor from time to time, and I hope they take what you say to heart. And whether it's a town hall meeting with the residents or a release that helps you understand what the challenge is and how perhaps you can assist them in ensuring that you get a constant supply is something I'm sure the residents who share your concerns would welcome hearing. Brass Tax 4341790, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. And you?
Not bad. What I'm calling about is I've had a problem for quite some time in the area that I live, and the residents too. There's a well that the drainage unit had dug out here about 10 or 12 years ago, and they admitted that they dug it wrong. And all it does right now is breed mosquitoes. They said they were going to close it up. They have not done it. It continues to breed mosquitoes. I have to actually personally go and put kerosene in the well to stop the mosquitoes from breeding. I've spoken to people at the drainage unit. Most of the senior people never return my call. I have spoken to my parliamentary representative, Dr. Duguid. I've sent him pictures of it, and nothing has been done. Literally nothing. And with Mayor Motley talking, with the Prime Minister talking about dengue and stuff like that, it's not good. And this is years I've been trying to do it, and I'm the only one in the area that does you know, put in the kerosene.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's...
You're the maintenance manager.
it seems so. It seems I work for the government and the government don't work for me. You know, usually, you know, remember what Ronald Reagan said? He said that we work for the government. The government works for us. So we don't work for the government. That's right. So, I mean, it is very, very frustrating. It is to a point where I feel that, you know, there's no respect. No respect get coming back. I mean, you call, you talk to people, they say they're going to return your call. Nobody returns the call from the drainage unit. As I said, I even spoke to my parliamentary representative. I sent him a whole bunch of WhatsApp pictures about it and everything, and nothing has been done. Nothing. Literally nothing. And they talk about this dengue and, and everything else, but nothing is done.
Yeah, it's dangerous. The dengue seems to have taken the back seat to COVID, but it's very much with us. And mosquitoes are flying around, and we can't put them on lockdown.
No.
Unfortunately. So I hope that you're airing it on the station rekindles a flame. But you see, if you have a situation where due to, I don't know, just the work of nature, you have something like this, perhaps you could say, well, it's just the work of nature. But this seemed to be a job that was done or left undone that's causing a problem. And I think they should have records that show where it was done, and in addition to your pictures, and be able to identify it and treat it urgently.
Oh, Mr. Johnson, they know exactly who I am.
Yeah.
I speak for the people in the neighborhood. All my neighbors know about it. I go across there and I put the kerosene often. They know exactly about it. It seems that they just forget about you. It's like, you know, we just want your taxes and that's the end of it. And that's how I feel. You know, that's exactly how I feel. It's just, and I have had dengue before.
Oh, okay.
And I don't wish it on my worst enemy. And I don't think I have many enemies.
I was about to tell you, you have personal experience.
Of course. But it lay me down for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I could not move out of the bed for 2 weeks. So I know all about it. So, you know, it's, everybody's talking about COVID, but what about dengue? What about the dengue? And, you know, only the other day up the road from me, there was a house that was leaking water. Nobody called. I called the water authority. I walked up there today, and I see that the water authority has fixed it. So at least that has been done. You know, I seem to be the policeman of the area.
I just told you, you're the, the maintenance manager. Sir,
yeah,
I applaud your civic mindedness, though. And I hope that that they take you seriously and that they assist you with this, because you are correct. Dengue is a challenge, and we should look at the health and well-being of our citizens pre-COVID, COVID, and post-COVID. And dengue ain't going anywhere in any hurry. And we have people dying from it, too. So, you know, I hope they hear you and they act swiftly, sir, and that you don't wait another year and a half and have another bout with that fever. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi.
I just want to call to say I really enjoyed the program on Friday. At first, I thought I would have heard some callers yet, but it was really nice, refreshing, and different, especially when I heard David was there as well. That was very good. And I thought that y'all should be complimented for it, but you will always get somebody who will try to criticize this thing. So, that being said, I just want to say, too, I agree totally with that lady's perspective about the persons who achieved whom we would have thought would not have achieved. And things like that is what I find most comforting when I hear you on the program. These persons are just comfortable to speak with you. So I pray and crave your indulgence that you wouldn't give up. I know that your time is now, so there are many people who go and jab at you, like the new saying is jab, jab, jab. But I know you're stronger than that. So I pray that you wouldn't give up. And another thing I'll say shortly, I really like the way the guy before the last one, I liked how he really put his opinion in. You know, he was just saying to them in a nice gentleman way, and he was subtle in chastising the ignorance of persons who would condemn a program like that. That program was great. And I enjoyed the fact, like I said, that David was able to be there. I wasn't looking for that aspect of the call. I thought we were just speaking or person would have spoken on his behalf, and he not being there. But his being there was good. And then when he put that that was from Parliament. I remembered that too. I remembered hearing it before. I almost fell out my chair. So I just want to say to you, it was really good. I enjoyed you. I've always enjoyed you from your first day you came on. So please don't give up. I don't want to hear you say you soon go. You'll go when the creator wants.
No.
You stay with us, okay?
Ma'am, unfortunately, this company has a policy. This company has a policy that says at 65 you have to go. As a matter of fact, I thought I was going before David because when I look at him walking up and down the corridor, I certainly look like his father as opposed to the other way around. So when I heard he was retiring, I look at him and say, what?
I was surprised. So I was
really surprised. I jumped. I said, you know, I mean, it took me completely by surprise. And then he asked me, so how far are you from retirement? And I told him, he said, it passes quickly. I said, it will.
Yeah, we both. We do enjoy you, though. So the little ones on the side don't mind them. Don't mind the little things on the side. We do enjoy you. We have enjoyed David, and we'll continue to enjoy you until we can't anymore. We know, too, after retirement, you can't keep still. So we know that. So we pray that Father will keep you as long as possible. We will have your ear. Well, so do have a good day.
You too, ma'am. Thank you very much for the support.